Parents, where you live, work, learn, and play. Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Wyatt Poholsky. Welcome to The Art of Aging, a 20-minute podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. A conversation with Bevan Phillips in just 30 seconds. First, your AOA tip of the day. Has it been a while since you've gone to see a loved one with dementia? Maybe you're not sure how to start the conversation. Don't worry, you're not alone. One of the best ways I've found is to have a few familiar photos on hand. Select one at a time and ask the person to tell you about it. Be kind, patient, and open to their response. In other words, use the opportunity to live in the moment with them. Now back to our topic, balance and safety. Joining me to talk more about it is Bevan Phillips. Bevan is the Home Modifications Program Coordinator for Key Complete Therapies in Omaha. Welcome.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, timely topic as organizations, especially senior living communities, begin to reopen. Bevan, paint a picture of what has transpired behind closed doors these past 4 months.
Well, Kathy, what we're starting to see both in communities where seniors are living and in seniors' private homes is that people simply have not been as active as they were before. There hasn't been as many opportunities to be active. You know, we've all been asked to stay away from other people, and that isolation itself has sort of decreased people's excitement in life and interest in moving around.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the consequences that you are seeing, hearing about, experiencing in terms of that inactivity. I mean, we all need to keep in mind, this seemed to be something that happened overnight. You know, it was one day we were hearing about it, and then the next day the senior living community seemed to just have to close for the safety and well-being of their residents. So, Bevan, tell us about some of the consequences to that inactivity.
Well, the primary consequence is physical deconditioning and depression. So if we're talking today about balance, you know, we're primarily looking at the effect of not moving around, deconditioning, losing elasticity of joints and muscles and strength. And it did happen quickly. Nobody had time to put together these plans of, well, how are we going to keep everybody moving around? You know, we all just sat down.
And what that does then, with the inactivity, you know, taken into consideration, it does or can make someone a higher risk for falls. Bevan, talk to us about the facts and figures that are important to know.
Well, the bottom line, despite other health issues like COVID that really have taken our attention here lately, is that falls remain serious and falls remain very common. Every year, millions of people over the age of 65 fall. The CDC says statistically that works out to one in every four people over the age of 65 are gonna fall. And a lot of them are gonna just jump right back up. It's not gonna be that big a deal. But what's important to know is that of those falls, one in five are serious. They may cause an injury that requires medical attention, may cause rehab, may cause a person's lifestyle to have to change, and may even cause death. So the bottom line to remember is that falls are common, they're serious. The silver lining is that we know how to prevent many falls.
Now, in addition to the inactivity over these past 4 months, what, Bevan, would you share to be the most common causes of falls?
Well, the most common cause of fall is a decrease in balance, which is tied directly to the effects of deconditioning, of being static, because you don't have strength, you don't have elasticity in your joints and muscles, and you're not challenging your vestibular system. So primary cause of falls is a problem with balance itself. Others that play a role in that, though, are vision, because while falls are not a normal part of aging, changes in our vision are a normal part of aging, whether it's, you know, being able to see contrast, whether it's being able to adjust quickly to changes in light, but we do need to adjust to those changes in vision. The medications, whether it's interactions between medications or whether it's accidental mismanagement of our medications, is a huge part in falling, causes a lot of falls. The environment, which is my area of interest, is a huge part of the whole picture of falling, because as people get older and live in the same place, even if it's just for a year or two, they are changing and they don't realize their home environment is not changing with them. And it might be useful to make a few changes so that there's a better match between their abilities. And then the fifth big one are comorbidities or chronic conditions. So 8 out of every 10 people over the age of 65 has a chronic condition like diabetes or COPD or heart conditions, and those things require medications. And so you can kind of start to see almost a spiral in your mind. You know, you have deconditioning spiraling people down, you have all these other conditions spiraling, and it's all a big piece where if we don't stay on top of it as individuals, we increase our risk of falling.
Okay, in addition to the staff that have obviously been working with these folks in the senior living communities, now that we are starting to reopen a bit and families are going to be able to visit in different ways other than through the window on the phone, talk to us a little bit about the red flags. So oftentimes, especially over these last 4 months, we've been seeing our loved ones sitting down. Mm. We haven't witnessed them necessarily getting up, walking over someplace. So as we are now kind of reacclimating ourselves to what's happening with our older adults in their environment, what should we be watching for?
That is a fantastic question, because we have the opportunity now to see our parents and our older friends in a fresh light. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest clues to look for, sort of simple, and we don't pay attention to this, are people who are using the walls and the furniture as balance. And the biggest thing they'll say is, well, I don't need a walker or a cane or anything because, you know, I never fall. But they're holding on to stuff all the time. That is a huge indicator of a balance issue. Another one is a change in activity. So if all of a sudden they don't want to walk on rough surfaces, they don't want to walk in a crowd, because those are challenges to our balance. Changes in posture. Somebody is noticeably holding their head differently or even starting to lift their arms out to the side, reminiscent of a tightrope walker, for the very same reason that a tightrope walker does that. Those are good clues. You mentioned it. We've been watching people sitting down. Now if we watch them trying to stand up, somebody who has difficulty moving from sitting to standing is showing that they don't have strength in that core of muscles, and that affects balance. And then finally, the biggest one is anybody who's ever fallen. Falling is the hugest red flag of all, because statistically, the CDC has looked at this, and they know that if somebody falls once, they are twice as likely to fall again. And that's why even in our health and wellness checks now, our physicians will ask us, have you fallen in the last 6 months? Because they know that is the biggest indicator of a future fall risk.
Yeah, and the health and wellness, I am so glad that you brought that up, because one of the other things that the older adults have been experiencing right now, especially over the last 4 months, is a lack of physician appointments. Now, some are doing it virtually, that's fine, but they haven't necessarily been seen. So when you talk about balance and you talk about vision and ear, inner ear, right? Yeah. Maybe some of those appointments were postponed because of COVID-19. So obviously we need to think about doing this, you know, in a phasal approach, but talk to those loved ones out there, Bevan, who are saying, my gosh, my mother missed 4 appointments because of COVID-19. Just the importance of making sure that we reschedule those and in a way that's not overwhelming.
Well, could I say ditto? I don't think I could say it any more clearly and passionately than that.
Wow.
Absolutely. We need to catch right back up on our health and wellness. Get back in there, you know, make sure that we're A, becoming more active, and B, catching up on those health and wellness checks, making sure everything's in order.
Okay. Now, the balance issue. And again, this has been tough for people because they haven't been around folks as much. But if we do notice balance issues, like so much else, we should be addressing it right away, because balance issues lead to other things. And you've talked about that, but really stress the importance of that proactive approach, even if you just think something's different, just to explore some options.
Balance isn't something that you want to ignore because of those consequences. Sometimes people will adjust to problems in balance by decreasing their activity. Well, that kind of makes sense. You know, it's like, how can I fall if I'm never on my feet? Well, you can't live your life sitting in your chair. You have to get on your feet. And if you are inactive, you are deconditioning yourself, and you make it that much more likely you're going to fall when you do have to get up, not to mention the fact that it impacts your quality of life. Other people are so afraid, fear on the other side of the coin, they are intentionally not sharing the fact. They are self-aware. They know they're having a balance issue, and they're intentionally hiding it because they're afraid that someone is going to come and take the control of their life away from them. I totally understand that fear. We all want to hold on to being independent and being in control of our own lives. The thing that they're not looking ahead to is if they have an accident, control is definitely going to be taken away from them. Whereas if you can overcome that fear and be honest about your balance issues, get some help, work on it, be proactive, you are actually going to stay in control a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the physician visits, because they will be ramping up here. And I would imagine, Bevan, that if older adults had not been receiving therapy services even during COVID, which some have, but once we get these older adults back out to their physicians, there may be an increase in demand for services like physical and occupational therapy. My first question, are you guys ready for it? But secondly, yeah, talk to us about, so I take my loved one to the physician and they say, yeah, I'm gonna suggest some therapy services. What's the difference between a physical therapist and an occupational therapist, for example?
It's, you know, that's a really good question. Because when you watch us in action, you think they're working on the same person. There's some overlap in what they're doing, and there really is. We have very similar educations. We're all licensed. And we are working on the same person oftentimes. I think you could boil it down to the difference that a physical therapist is going to be a lot more focused on the physical, the motion, getting the elasticity back, getting the strength back, getting the movement back. And an occupational therapist, again, look at occupation, which means task or activities, those things we do every day. An occupational therapist is going to be interested in what do we do with that movement to do things. So if you look at it that way, you can see how we overlap, and yet we're a little bit focused on different things, both of which are very, very important to a person's quality of life.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving us the difference between those, because oftentimes you'll just hear somebody say, I am seeing a therapist, they're working with me on my motion, right? So talk with us, this would be a great time to tell us all about Key Complete Therapies.
Thank you. We are an outpatient practice of therapists. That's all we are, therapists. We are physical therapist, occupational therapist, and speech therapist. And we do all the traditional things you expect therapists to do. We help people regain skills they've lost, and we help people gain skills they haven't developed yet. We are a little bit unique in that we take those traditional services on the road. We see our people where the problems are occurring, which is better therapy, the way we think about it. But from our patient's perspective, it's pretty darn convenient. Can you imagine packing up somebody who doesn't really feel that good, who has balance impairment, because of that is probably shouldn't be driving, trying to get them somewhere once or twice a week? We go to where people are living, working, learning, and playing. And that is a unique thing for outpatient therapists to be doing.
Well, and you yourself are unique, Bevan, because you have a skill set not to mention your passion for working with older adults, but you are an occupational therapist, but you're also like the home modification guru of this area. Talk to us a little bit about your background and how you became involved in all of this.
In home modifications?
Well, or, which came first?
OT?
Talk about that and then your segue into, yeah.
Well, I always have to thank my parents, and not just because they're responsible for my getting here, but like many therapists, I had a family member with a disability. My youngest brother had a physical disability, and I am of the age where there were not a lot of therapists available at that point, and my parents acted. They were natural occupational therapists. They determined with him, what do you want to do, six-year-old kid? Everything a six-year-old kid does. And so they helped him find ways to do what he wanted to do, whether it was being able to get his pants zipped up so he could go to the bathroom by himself in the first grade, or ride a bike with some special adaptations. And that, to me, is the core and essence. What do you want to do? Let's figure a way to get there. And that's an occupational therapist. I became a home modification specialist because early on in my career, I realized that not everybody gets better. But if you can change the environment around somebody so that it matches what they can do instead of fights with them, they can do so much more. And that's what's really important, is being able to do it, not how you're doing it. I don't care how you get in and out of the tub. If I change that tub so that you can do it, then you're golden, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's so. Quite a perspective, though, to be able to have, Bevan. I mean, I'd like to think that we have, and we do, a lot of good therapists out there, but to be able to couple that with a skill set. So you're going in, you're obviously, honing in on the individual, but you're probably a little bit more tuned in to environment than some, because you're very proactive, I would imagine, in that regard.
Well, it is my specialty practice, and I have a construction background. I have some real estate background. I spend a lot of time understanding the structure of the home as well as the structure of the person. So that is. Many therapists, both physical therapists and occupational therapists, have specialty areas of practice, and the environment is mine. So,
okay. We've got like a minute remaining.
Yeah.
Story that you can think of that ties all this together? Maybe somebody you've helped, something recent?
It's always great when people can get better, but I work with people who have disease processes like ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and you're not going to get better from that. But you're still going to live, and hopefully live really well, right up to the very end. So family here in town, youngish man, younger than me, and we got the bathroom fixed up so that he can get in there and be by himself in there with very little help from family a lot longer. And that may not seem like a huge deal to anybody except him, and his family and me, but boy, I think that's a win, and I live for those.
Yeah, we'll definitely have you back, Bevan, because it's kind of a to be continued for those people who are wondering, do I modify my home or do I move? How do I do or deal with all of this?
Yeah.
Give us your phone number to Key Complete Therapies.
Key Complete Therapies, our phone is 402-819-8477. Thanks.
You bet. For simple ways to stay active during COVID-19, check out the blog tabs. There you'll find an article written by one of Bevan's colleagues at Key Complete Therapies. In the meantime, I'd like to thank Bevan for joining us, and my husband Mike for making us sound so good. And of course, to all of you for listening to The Art of Aging, a podcast to encourage independence and peace of mind by informing, educating, and celebrating you. I'm Kathy Wyatt-Poholsky, inviting you to join us again as we will be posting new segments every 2 weeks. Till then, may you find meaning in each and every moment, hence discovering what I believe to be the true art of aging.